Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. We've been looking at a chapter found in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, and this is an account of the dividing of the United Kingdom, Judah and Israel becoming separate. Rehoboam and others with him came to Jeroboam and the son, and others with him came to Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, and asked for a greater leniency and less harshness in terms of the tasks and burdens that were placed upon them. That was rejected, and as a result, Israel said, "Well, take care of your own house, David. We're off. You're not going to deal with us." And as a result, the king that they set up as king, Jeroboam, set up his ruling authority at, it says in verse 25, in Mount Ephraim, and that's where he dwelt. He built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and that's where he dwelt. And he was concerned that the people were going to depart from him. If they followed their traditional forms of worship, they would be going up to Jerusalem. Well, he didn't want that for his own personal motives, for his own selfish reasons. He was afraid he could be deposed, he could be killed, that they would return to Judah. And as a result, to secure his own ends, he set up two golden calves. And his name is repeated throughout the history of Judah in Israel because others followed his example. And it said they followed the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And what a sorrowful thing that is, that those in leadership who have the power of influence, the authority that is given to them by God, they will have to be given account before God when they stand before Him, how they have used that authority. And so it is true also for us in our own lives. While we may not be a civic ruler or leader, while we may not be an ecclesiastical leader as a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, yet we all have areas or metrons of responsibility and people that we influence. And God is looking at our lives to see how are we faithfully discharging the duties that God has given to us. And so one of the hardest things is to really admit and not to make excuses for things that we try to justify and try to make it all right when we're really, when the Spirit of Truth is dealing with us, we'll see where we are seeking our own comfort, our own pleasure, our own desires, our own willingness to be exalted or recognized or whatever, rather than to be a humble servant of the Lord. In fact, let's just take a moment to pray. I want to pray for all of us that we would walk with a greater humility, a depth of purpose and understanding, that like John the Baptist, who was greatest among men, remember Jesus said there was none like him. He was the greatest of men, although he did say anyone who was least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than he, because that was, he was heralding this new dispensation. He was preparing the way of the Lord for the Messiah, for Jesus to come and make himself known and his kingdom very real for the hearts of those who would receive him. And so, Father, we come to you, and Lord, there are many who perhaps as I have been grieved by things that they have seen. And Lord, they have pondered things in their hearts. Lord, they don't want to speak negative of anyone. They don't want to be being critical or judgmental. But Lord, your word does give us a standard, and that we judge by your word. And Lord, when we see things, you have given that understanding, that discernment to us so that we can pray. Our prayers are effective. And so, Father, we ask that you would make us ever vigilant and alert, but especially, Lord, in our own lives, that we would not allow the enemy to deceive us in any way, but that we would walk in humility and in the fear of the Lord before you, and that everything we do would be generated out of a motive to bring you glory. Lord, that old song, to God be the glory. If we gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. Let it be with the knowledge, as those, as we see in the book of Revelation, they worship before the throne, and they cast their crowns before him, saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So, Lord, touch our hearts that we might, with all of our strength and all of our mind and might, seek to be like Jesus, that we can be beautiful and accurate representations as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We praise you and we thank you for it. Hallelujah. You know, it's our carnal mind, it's the way of the flesh that wants to walk by sight and not by faith. And of course, it's easier to accept what the flesh says than it is to accept what God says when a life is not in submission to him, because we do tend to rationalize things. In verse 30, Jehovah says, Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, this was the golden calf, as far as Dan. And so this man's influence and authority caused the people of Israel to sin. These golden calves became the object of worship and took their attention away from God, their dependency on God, and their submission to God. Man always delights to be more engrossed with his own works than the works of God. In so many nominal circles of worship today, people are more concerned with the prayer book instead of the author of prayer. Unless we mortify the deeds of the body, the wrong desires of the flesh, the products of man's own imaginations, are so easily exalted to the throne of our affection and worship that this allows the very presence of God to be usurped in our lives. Beloved, whatever thing, whatever it is, if it takes the place of God, it becomes sin. It is nonetheless an idol. And beloved, our hearts must be so tender before the Lord. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. We need to understand that he alone is God, and he has the right to tell us. Can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus, or why are you doing what you're doing? He knows what is best for us, and he does it not out of harshness, but out of the greatest of love. And sometimes, even when our prayers are not answered when we want them or as we want them, it is because his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, his wisdom is not our wisdom. And many times when we look back, we can say, thank God we didn't get what we prayed for, but that God in his wisdom gave what was best and right for us. Praise God. And so, beloved, we have a wonderful privilege of going to God in prayer. And as I always do, at the end of the broadcast, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs, because there is power in agreement. And over the years, God has given me such a love for the UCM partners, and even some we've never met in the flesh, in the natural, but there is a bond of love that God has placed there, because my heart truly yearns to see you have all that God has for you, and to see you freed from every single bondage and every single lie, every single deception that the enemy would seek to put on you, that we are already victorious. But anything he tells you, beloved, it's a lie. And so we have to hearken to the word of the Lord. So in the moments that remain, let's just take a few moments. I don't often do this, to share some of the letters that have just come in very recently. A sister writing from Fremont says, "Dear Sister Judith, our teacher, the Holy Spirit, amen, praise God, has given me quite a Bible study as I've looked up every verse mentioned in your letter." Oh, that's so wonderful, because when that's the whole point. Let the Holy Spirit do his wonderful work. She goes on to write, "Truly the Lord would use your thoughts and his words to teach, remind, and encourage me to keep pressing on and not to lose heart. Thank you so much for the love you give me and so many others. God bless you with renewed strength and overflowing joy. Love, a sister writing from Fremont." Another sister writing from Santa Rosa, "Dear Judith, thank you for your words of encouragement from the Holy Spirit. They strengthen me and give me courage. Blessed be the Lord God." May God richly bless you. And then another sister writing from Campbell, California, writes, "Thank you so much for your encouraging words. I have a stack about 2 inches high, and I can't throw any out. I keep them all." And then she goes on to share prayer needs. "A dear sister in the Lord, as I say, I've become very attached and have such love in my heart for my UCM partners." And then this is a part, they're also UCM partners, but a minister to Native Americans and cowboys in the Great Basin. He writes, and I shared this with the UCM family, "There's nothing more important than the Word of God, the study of it, and the doing of it. It applies to all of life, personal, work, business, family, and community. If you want to change your world, start in His Word each day. Turn off your TV, computer, cell phone, and read. When God shows you something, well, then do it. Never believe the lie you don't have time. Make time, and your whole world will come alive." That's by Tom Freeman. Praise God. Anyway, beloved, I do love you and pray for you every day, my UCM partners, as well as you, my radio family, even those of you who've never written. But if you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I urge you to obey Him, because He has a reason. I love you and thank God for you. Thank you for your prayers in our behalf. We're all in spiritual warfare, and so we need to keep each other undergirded with the love of God and the full armor of God. Amen. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.